Every Tuesday, he would buy me lunch. But you know, after a while, like a year or so, I was thinking, you know, I gotta reciprocate. So I get to the restaurant the next week a little early, and I go to the waitress and I said, "Today, please bring me the bill." She said, "You know, Gene said you might say that, so I can't do this." So next week I came in early, I took my credit card out, and I said to the waitress, "Take my credit card, run it before we actually eat." She said, "Gene said you might do that." So here's his card. She takes out of it.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon. Today, we're going to continue on the life of Enoch, and Pastor Wayne will show us that a simple and genuine relationship is what pleases God. He takes pleasure when his will is done through his children. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Enoch, the man who walked with God.
But isn't it true, if you're hungry, you will eat anything? And that's why the Bible says, let the Lord fill your heart and your soul. And when you are filled with the Spirit, when you have Him living, vibrant, and a relationship with the Lord is on your mind, all the rest of the things don't appeal to you as much. But you're going to be in a place, in a world that draws you to eat toads if you've got a broken relationship. Yeah, and that's what sin is. We're eating toads, and the Lord's saying, no. And we're just, and the Lord says, don't. I can do what I want. I hate this Christian stuff. Don't do this, don't do that. And in the Spirit, that's what it looks like. The Lord is saying, no, don't do that. And when our relationship is broken, we're pulled towards the world. Because would you write down in your bullet, the enemy wants to wear you down. He wants to wear down your resistance. That's exactly what Daniel 7, verse 25 says when he speaks about the enemy of our souls. Would you read with me Daniel 7, 25? Go. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. Would you circle the words wear down? Because you're going to be in a world where you're going to see people who were once vibrant Christians worn down, and then they'll actually defect. And now they're actually selling the wares of the enemy of our souls. I think one of the more provocative, temptress kinds of young ladies in the past that used innocence as an attempt and a temptation for immorality was Britney Spears, and the way that she would dress and the way that she would move, and like this innocent thing, and come and get me, baby, and kind of thing. And she used the innocence actually for the wrong thing. And then now recently, Jessica Simpson. And if you saw her in a trailer or the movie and Dukes of Hazzard, I just saw a trailer of it and I thought, good night, what is going through? You know why I thought that way? Because both of them were leaders in their church youth groups. And Jessica Simpson's father is a pastor. And I look at that and I think, you know, what did the devil do to get you to defect so royally? You see, he's got all kinds of flavors of temptations. Now, in each one is a big old stainless steel hook that he puts into your soul. But he'll say, how can I get this in your guts? Oh, no, praise the Lord, I'm going to stay with the Lord. Okay, what do you want? What can I give you to sell out your soul? How's about money? Million, two, five, ten, don't matter how much, because I got it all. Okay, 10 million, okay, 15 million, okay, here it is. You just want paint? What flavor do you want? Green? God, green. Well, I want prestige. Oh, okay, I got that one too. I'm going to stick that one on, yeah. Oh, notoriety. Oh, yeah, I got that one too. What color? You want really all kinds of diamond glitter on it? Yeah. See, he's got different flavors. What flavor do you want? But on the inside, it's the same hook. Whatever flavor you like to sell your soul, because that's where this is going to go. And how many just like fish going after that bait, you know? And then it yanks. And then you can see the devil takes greater glee in causing one of God's children to defect from their relationship with God and then sell the devil's wares than to get someone who's never known God in a relationship to sell his wares. I mean, that's nice, but this I get much more glee, the devil would say. And what he wants to do is pull you away from, just like 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, I'm afraid that as a devil deceived Eve, that you too would be led astray from the purity and simplicity of your devotion to Christ. Because the devil knows that if he can get you to fracture your relationship, oh, keep your religious trappings, but don't have a vibrant relationship with Jesus as honest and clear and good. If he can get you to just kind of cut some corners, then the Father will not work the kingdom through you. Because it requires a healthy and vibrant relationship. And then he'll push buttons, and he'll do things, and he'll go through you. But you watch, and we're all around us is a world that's just pulling us that way. And if you don't have him on your mind, you will eat anything. And that's why it's so important for us as we come here. It's not just to learn more, but actually to allow God to fill us afresh with his Spirit. So that when we walk out of here, we love Jesus so much more. And that's my goal and desire for every single one of us. Otherwise, you'll go home and you'll watch TV, and the things that used to be abnormal are now normal. Stuff that used to be like gross are now everyday. The stuff that used to be immoral, it's like everybody's doing it. Isn't that right? It used to be you see something on TV and it's like, wow, and they show just a little bit of, you know, a sex act or something. It's like, oh man, that's terrible. Close your eyes, son. Close your eyes in the movie, you know. Oh, oh. And then now it's like, yeah, see that? Yeah. Pretty cool, huh? And then after about another 5 or 6 times, you know, I'd like to do something like that. And it just gets you and pulls you that way. I was in the record store the other week, and you know, there's some CDs that have an X rating on it. You got to be a certain age to buy it because they use F words and stuff on it. And I thought, what? I mean, you put it on, these guys are effing this and that. I thought, what? No way. Sure enough, it's happening. I was going down Waikiki and I heard this stuff going on. I thought, who's swearing? It was a CD on the guy's boombox. And I thought, that does happen. And you watch rappers today. Rappers come out and they have all of these, the worst stuff. And then their hands go down and they start grabbing stuff they shouldn't be grabbing on stage. You ever notice that? They're just kind of hanging on. And I thought, what are they doing that for? I looked at that and I thought, maybe it helps them remember the words. I don't know. I looked at that and I thought, the guy's he continues to do that. Like half the song he's down there. And I thought, what? And then I realized, I got it. Fungus. He's got a fungus. But isn't that true? At first, it's like, what? And then now it's like, they always do that. And what happens is the devil wants to wear you down so that that vortex of the world just kind of pulls you that way. And you think, huh, dead toads aren't that bad. They're not that, you know, not bad tasting. And then pretty soon, we find ourselves selling the enemy's wares. And we thought, what in the world happened? And you see, sometimes we're hanging on to stuff and the Lord is saying, there's something much better. You need to let those Maui Jims go. It don't matter. Because your life with me is what's most important. And Enoch and I took it right into eternity because I want to do that forever. And then I listen to the questions young people will ask me. And I know if their relationship is fractured with the Lord and it's more religious than anything else. I mean, they'll come to me and say, you know, Wayne, I mean, like, is such and such wrong? You know, is Frenching wrong? Is this wrong? And then they'll say, how far can I go with my girlfriend, like sexually? How far can we go and like not cross the line? You know, I mean, I don't want to cross the line. So I know, like, when you do it, you know, it's crossing the line. So how far can we like get near to that, not cross the line? And I look at them and I think, what? Yeah, you know, how far can we go without crossing the line? I look back at him and I say something like this. You know, I'm married to Anna. Yeah, I know. How far can I go with my neighbor? She's got my neighbor's friend. He's got a beautiful wife. How far can I go sexually with her and still not cross the line with Anna? And the kid goes, what? Yeah. How far can I go with her and go for it and still not cross the line with Anna? And the kid will go, that's strange. And I'll look at him and say, so are you. If I am even asking that question, you know something's weird with my relationship with Anna. And then this is what they'll say. Yeah, but you're married. I'm single. I said, no, you're married. If you're a Christian, you're married. No, I'm single. No, I'm married. No, the other way around. I said, you're married. No, I'm single. No, let's read 2 Corinthians 11:2. Go. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. Yeah. If you're part of the church, you are called the bride of, you're betrothed to him. It's like a commitment. And if I move into lust or immorality and just think, I just won't cross the line, something's funny with your relationship. You see, the devil is saying, it's okay so long as you don't cross the line. So he knows that if he can fracture your relationship, the kingdom won't come through you because it requires a genuine relationship. Now, you can do that stuff, but I tell you, the devil's got you hogtied because you don't understand what's pleasing in the Father's sight that he said to Enoch, this is it. It is so precious that I just want us to keep this forever. And boom, they were in eternity. You say, but Wayne, there's so many choices everywhere. There's options. Yeah, there are. Well, should we just get rid of all the options? No. No, it's going to require you to make a choice. In fact, would you write in your last bullet, love is not really love unless it includes our choice. Love is not love unless it includes choice. When I married Anna, it wasn't like a nuclear blast hit the world and she was the only female living, so I had to marry her and start the race again. No, there were many options, but I chose her. You're going to have a fight on the inside. Paul the Apostle did. Let's read what it says here. Go. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. Yeah, he says, there's a war going on inside of me. But let me tell you the greatest, most powerful love in the universe. The Greeks have 4 words for love. English is 1. The words love in Greek, 3 of them have to do with feeling or being prompted to love. For example, the first word is eros, where we get the word erotic from. It's the word that means a romantic love, a feeling love, an affectionate love, a love of emotion. Well, I love you because I feel like loving you. You appeal to my senses. All right, that's eros. There's another one called phileo, where we get the word Philadelphia from. It's friendship love. It's I love to be with my buddies because we all play basketball together. We have a similar affinity. So I love being with my friends. Well, that's good. You're impelled that way because of you like a certain thing together. The third love is a love called storge. It's a love that a mother has for a child, a father has for a child. And it's my kid, it's from me, it's my kid. So that's great. Nothing wrong with that. But there's one love that is not a love of feeling, it's a love of choice. And that's the love that God has for humankind. And that is a love of choice. It's called agape. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did his son come to be sacrificed? Because God had no other choice? No, he had tons of choices. But he chose to love us. He chose to put his love onto us. And the Bible says when you learn to make choices according to God's way, you are now developing the strongest, most powerful love in the universe. And the reason why the devil doesn't want you to develop that kind of love. Just go with the feelings, do what your heart says kind of thing. Because he knows that when you start developing a love of choice, that's the kind of love that destroyed him on Calvary and changed the world. It was a love of choice, not a feeling. And so sometimes you're going to have to make a choice 50 times in a day to put your mind back on the Lord. I go home to be with my wife sometimes. Why? Because I feel like it. Sometimes I do, but sometimes I don't. Things aren't going that well, but I make a choice. And God says, that's good. Because you are developing. You see, that agape love is developed, nurtured, nourished, built. It's not just found or given. It's developed, it's built, it's nourished, it's nurtured. And when I make those choices for the King, because I know of his love for me and what he's done for me, I want that to happen here. I choose to do the same. Why? Because I have to. Oh. Let me finish with a story that I've told long ago about a friend of mine. His name is Gene over in Hilo, and he was an elder in the church. And every Tuesday, he would buy me lunch. And so I was a young pastor, poor, you know. So I would go and have lunch with him. And he'd pay the bill. I was really happy. I was pleased. So I let him do it because it was his ministry. Like 70, 80 times, I just let him just pay for my lunch. But, you know, after a while, like a year or so, I was thinking, you know, I got to reciprocate. I need to pay. So I said, Gene, let me pay for lunch next week. He said, oh, no, I'm going to pay. I said, you've been paying for like 2 years. He said, it's all right. This is my ministry. I want to do that. I said, come on, let me pay next week. Nope. So I'm sitting at home thinking, man, I got to start paying for something like this. I got to do this. How am I going to do this? So I get to the restaurant the next week a little early, and I go to the waitress, and I said, today, please bring me the bill. Okay, can you do that? She said, you know, Gene said you might say that, so I can't do this. I said, what? She said, yeah. So I sat down. I said, Gene, come on, man. You've been paying. Let me pay. I really want to pay. I mean, I got paid, and I got some bucks, and got a little raise. I want to pay. He said, no, doesn't matter how much you have. I'm going to pay. I said, no way. So next week, I came in early. I took my credit card out, and I said to the waitress, take my credit card, run it before we actually eat. She said, Gene said you might do that. So here's his card. She takes out of it. So I slide into the booth, and I said, Gene, come on, man. Let me pay. He said, no. I said, no, I want to pay. He said, no, I want to pay. No, I said, you know what? I'm starting to dream about paying for lunch. He said, no, I'm going to pay. I said, Gene, please, I want to. I yearn to. I desire to. I must pay for lunch. He said, no, I'm going to pay. Oh, no way. My heart is hurting to pay for lunch. And, you know, I thought after a while, you know what? That's just like the Bible. My heart at first was like, woohoo, pay for me. And then now it's like, no, I want to be a part of this. Because see, 1 John says this, we love because he first loved us. We are compelled to love because our relationship with him is to a point where I know how much he loves me. And what happens after a while, his love doesn't just come to me, it changes my heart. And now because of my relationship, it comes what? Through me. I want to forgive because I have to, no other option. No, because I know how much he's forgiven me. And the least I can do is let it run through me. I want to love. Why? Because it's a Christian thing. I want to give. Why? Because they say you're supposed to give in church. No. Because I know how much he's laid down his life and has given to me. How many times has he paid for my lunch? The least I can do is give an offering. And by the way, I want to encourage you to do that. Because that's one little way of his kingdom coming through us. Our program, our television program, the radio program is in the mainland. It's being shown in Philippines, in Japan, in India. We get letters from people in Asia saying that their lives are being touched and changed. And the gospel is free, but the means by which it is extended costs. And so as we give, it's not because, well, that's a Christian thing. No. We give because we're saying, Lord, run a little bit of the kingdom through us to those we may never meet until we see in heaven one day. And when you understand relationship, you give because you have to. No, because he's given so much for me. I want to love because he loves. I want to give grace because he's given grace to me. I want to lay down my life and serve. Why? Because New Hope is recruiting more servants? No, he's laid down his life for me and served me so many times. Man, the least I can do is this. Well, what's happening? Well, because of my relationship with him, not religious, just because of genuine, vibrant relationship, I know what he's done for me. I am now compelled to do the same. And then the Lord says, that's it. That's what Enoch had. That's what it's all about. If you removed everything else, that's the life of the church, my bride, so that I'll run the kingdom through her to a needy world. And when you understand that, you begin to understand why these men and women were in Hebrews 11 and God called it a hall of faith. It's not that ethereal, not that out there. It is very practical and real. And the Lord wants that for each of us. Will you say yes to that? Let's say yes. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Would you stand with me as we conclude? Let's bow our heads as we pray. If you've never received Jesus and you've never begun a relationship with him, oh, do it today. It'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make. And I'm not saying get religious. No, no, no. I'm saying what Jesus came to bring was a genuine relationship that's constantly being cleansed, forgiveness is being asked, received, lives being changed and altered so that we keep a genuine relationship that's vibrant so he can run his blessings, his love, his insight, his wisdom through us into a situation where our friends are hurting, our family needs help, and he runs his words through us. But what's a prerequisite is a vibrant relationship. And if you've never begun that, do that today. To just say, Lord, I need a new beginning. I need forgiveness. And would you come into my life? Because that's what I need. If that's you today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, right now, with a raise of hand, would you raise a hand and doing so, you're saying, yeah, that's what I need. That's what I need. Lord, would you forgive me? Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah. All right, you too. Yeah, yeah. Good, you too, yeah. Yep, okay, yeah. Jesus sees those hands. He sees your hearts as well. Yeah, yeah. You can put your hands down. If you're a Christian, you know, and you say, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but you know that relationship? I think that filter's clogged. I really need the Lord to restore that, refresh that. Lord, would you do that with me this week? Lord, whatever you need to do, would you raise a hand and say, yeah, God, do that. May this be a season of a fresh, new, vibrant, simple relationship. Yeah, with you. You can put your hands down. Pray this prayer after me, and then we'll sing our final song. But let's pray this with all our hearts. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, that you came and died for me, that I might have life everlasting, that I have your grace, your forgiveness. I receive that. Change my heart so that I will represent you in the same way with others. I say this so everyone can hear me, so you can hear me, so I hear myself, and so the devil hears. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for restoring us to a vibrant relationship that's simple and pure with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ.
In Christ alone, I place my trust.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Enoch, the Man Who Walked with God by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
Trust and find my glory in the power of the Christ alone.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.